We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick.
Here's the one that people just say it, walk on water, and you kind of know what you're talking about. You may not know where that story comes from in the Bible. You may not know even who was doing the walking on the water, but it's become kind of a figure of speech for what? Say he walks on water. Means he's a great guy. It means he can do no wrong. Well, those things are certainly true in the case of the one who did walk on water. Now, in the case of the other guy who walked on water, that is St. Peter, is definitely not a man who could do no wrong. We're going to talk about that famous story of Jesus in Matthew chapter 14. Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson. And we'll be talking about Jesus walking on water and what happened immediately before he walked on water. Pastor Tom Baker is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farms, Missouri, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Todd.
Why is it important to notice that immediately before this in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus has fed the 5,000?
Good question. One needs to understand the total context of the gospel according to St. Matthew. We believe that he's writing to Jews, and he's making the point that Jesus is the Messiah because he fulfills so many of the Old Testament prophecies. In fact, Matthew often says, and this was to fulfill, and then he quotes an Old Testament passage. Well, what happened in the Old Testament in regard to your question about Jesus giving bread and then walking on the water? Well, there was two similar actions in the Old Testament books, only they are reversed. I drew a little chart, in fact, two columns, and on the left side is Old Testament, and on the right side is New Testament. I said in the Old Testament, the first item is the Red Sea crossing. The second item is Jews being fed manna, and the Red Sea crossing happens at night. In the New Testament, the first item is Jesus feeding of the 5,000. Then the second item is him walking on the Sea of Galilee, and this also happened at night. In fact, we have a Psalm 77, verse 19, that speaks of this very kind of thing. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. So, the reason I think Matthew does this, he's trying to show that Jesus comes as the new Moses, the new Israel. And he is successful where the old Israel somewhat failed because all of them didn't get to the promised land. And it's just a reversal of the Red Sea crossing and then being fed manna in contrast to first being fed the bread of the feeding of the 5,000 and then the crossing of the Sea of Galilee. And in that way, Jesus is seen to be the new Moses and the fulfillment of the promises in regard to who is the Messiah.
He seems to set this up to occur the way it does, and as you say, when it does. He makes his disciples get in the boat and go ahead and start the crossing of the Sea of Galilee, and he himself dismisses the crowd. Then he goes up on the mountain to pray by himself and waits until the fourth watch of the night before he begins to cross and manages to catch up with them because of the roughness of the water. What's going on?
Yes. As we've been saying the last few weeks, many of these passages are found in more than one gospel. This is also found in Mark chapter 6, verse verses 45 to 52. The only thing it has missing, and I'm sure we're going to get to that, is Peter walking on the water. It just indicates that the disciples were terrified and Jesus gets into the boat with them. That's Mark chapter 6. But about the fourth watch of the night, this is what Mark says, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. And Matthew does have that part, too. He just doesn't have the part that Jesus was intending to pass by them. But they were terrified and said, it is a ghost, and cried out in fear. And both indicate it is the fourth watch of the night, which is the latest watch of the evening, and it was after this would come the dawn.
Why do they immediately assume that this is a spirit or a ghost?
Because they haven't ever seen a human being walking on water. Even the Red Sea, nobody walked on the water. The water was parted, and they walked on dry land through the Red Sea to the other side. And so the idea that this was a human being whose weight would obviously make them sink into the water, we can understand how commonsensically they jump to the conclusion this must be a ghost who's only a spirit and not one who really is a true human being. So this is important to understand. They did not recognize Jesus at first as the one who was walking on the water.
He has to tell them, it is I, do not be afraid, take heart, it is I. What is to be found there in Jesus' words?
In the phrase, it is I, this is very close to the name of God himself. The name of God is I am who I am. So when Jesus says, it is I, and this is in verse 27 of Matthew. And by the way, he also says the very same thing in Mark. What we're finding here is Jesus is speaking in a way where I am who I am comes through clearly. For example, in the Greek, it is ego eimi, two words, ego meaning I and eimi meaning I am. Normally, you want to put the ego in front of it because you already have the I, the personal pronoun I, in the verb, eimi, I am. But by putting ego in front of it, Jesus is saying, I am who I am. Or they translate it, it is I. Be of good cheer. Do not be afraid. So, he's doing more here than just saying that he is Jesus. He's also saying that he is God. In fact, when Jesus does this, when he's being arrested, the high priest takes it to mean that he's blaspheming. In fact, if you recall, the soldiers who come to arrest Jesus, are you Jesus of Nazareth? And the English just says, you know, I am. But the Greek says, I am who I am. He uses the name of God. And that's why they fall down on their faces, because that's supposed to be your response when you hear what you think is blasphemy, where somebody's taken the name of God for himself. But Jesus isn't committing blasphemy. It is truth that he is truly God. And so, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And he's giving the understanding of God that he is, that he so loves his people that he's willing to come to save them, and of course that will be done through the crucifixion, but that's how much he loves them. And so once you're with Jesus, there's no need to be afraid.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson, Jesus Walks on Water, in Matthew chapter 14. Peter's response is recorded next, and we'll get to it on the other side of the break. Pastor Baker is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farms, Missouri, and host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Stay tuned. What are some of the myths of gospel reductionism? I've written part two of an article titled Better Than Good, Failed Attempts to Improve on the Gospel in the latest issues, etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Joy Pullman of The Federalist writes about her journey from charismatic experientialism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the CLCC.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. The CLCC.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson today. We're looking at Jesus walking on water in Matthew chapter 14. Now, you had mentioned that Mark's version of this doesn't have Peter's response, and Matthew certainly does. Peter has a lot to say in Matthew's gospel to begin with, and here's one of those places where I'm not quite sure, Tom, what Peter's up to. He begins by saying, if it is you. Pick up there.
We talk about Peter often being hoof in the mouth, Peter. Remember, Peter even confesses, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, you haven't thought of that yourself. My Father has given that for you to say. And by the way, I'm going to Jerusalem to be crucified and then rise from the dead 3 days later. Immediately, Peter, hoof in the mouth, says, no, you're not. We will protect you. It won't happen while I'm around. And Jesus looks at him, get thee behind me, Satan. So, Peter is somewhat tempestuous. For example, remember at the Transfiguration? He decides, let's make tabernacles, not just for Jesus, but also for Moses and Elijah. He speaks without thinking a lot of times. Now, he sees Jesus walking on the water. He's his disciple. Well, let me walk on the water also. And so, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So, he's still not quite sure it's Jesus, but if it is you, that's all the evidence I need, because if you command me to come to the water, you're walking on the water, I'm walking on the water, then I know you will be God. And that's why he asked that question, and Jesus says, come.
Okay, so is he doesn't seem to be genuinely in doubt of that it's Jesus. He's trying to test the situation. Should he be commended for doing this? Or even though Jesus does say, come, is this a wise thing for Peter to be doing?
I think the growing in Christ material, which we follow quite a bit here, makes it valid point that we need to give Peter credit, because he's the only one of the disciples who even ventures to walk on the water. The others are just terrified. So Peter does have a level of faith that would move him to ask the Lord for me to walk on the water. And when God says, come, he gets out of the boat, walks on the water, comes to Jesus, But then when it appears he takes his eyes off Jesus and sees the wind, and I'm sure the wave, he becomes afraid, begins to sink, and cries out, Lord, save me. That's really, really important to understand that even when we trust Jesus, a lot of times we fail and we sink because we look at the world around us and think that what is up against us is so impossible to overcome that we actually no longer are trusting the Lord to watch over us.
So he goes out, he is at first walking on water, and then he's sinking.
Yes.
What's the difference? I mean, you touched upon it there just a moment ago. But what's the difference between Peter on the water and Peter going down in the water? What's changed?
What changed is what Paul says in Romans 7. There's a struggle between the new man and the old Adam. The new man wants to do the will of God, but the old Adam creates all kinds of doubt in him that he is really able to do that. So I would see that here there is a struggle between the new man and the old Adam. And that's really important that we bring that up because Paul himself says, who's going to deliver me from this death? And of course, he looks to Jesus to deliver him. I really think the words of Jesus, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, I disagree with those who say that if you have enough faith, you can walk on water. And the reason I disagree with that is that the word faith here isn't talking about faith in yourself. You've had a lot of very fine programs where you talk about when people say, I have enough faith, they're talking about faith in themselves rather than faith in the promises of Jesus. When Jesus looks at Peter and says, oh, you of little faith, he's referring to the fact that Peter is not believing a promise somewhere. Well, where was a promise here? The promise was, command me to come to you on the water, and Jesus says, come. As soon as he says, come, that means there's a promise there that he can come. And therefore, with this one single word, Peter is told not only what to do, but he's also told that this figure walking on the water is Jesus. And here's a tremendous law and gospel point of view. The law tells us what we are to do. Jesus says, come. We can't do it. We fail. The gospel, Jesus still saves us. And the Greek says, he stretched out his hand and took hold of Peter and said, oh, Peter, why are you doubting, you a little faith? And he saves him. That's the same that happens to these Sunday school children. They do want to obey the will of their parents, the will of God. But even when they fail, God is still there to keep his baptismal promises that he will never leave them nor forsake them. And so, even with adults and children, the good news of the gospel is that once God makes a command and you can't do it, he fulfills it for you, brings you along with him, and therefore we ought not doubt, but we do. And that's why it's so important to be involved in regular worship, receiving the Lord's Supper, so we can become more confident in the promises of Jesus Christ.
And he does say to him, oh, you of little faith. He doesn't say, you unbeliever,
Very
or you
good.
Of no faith.
Yeah, he doesn't say, oh, you of no faith. Paul, in last week's epistle, talked about going to the Corinthians and only feeding them on the milk of the word because they weren't ready for the meat of the word. That could be a tremendous Bible study right in that. What's the difference? But here at this point, he still has faith because he did still look to the Lord to save him after he failed. And therefore, Jesus does not say to him, oh, you have no faith, but you of little faith. And Jesus keeps his promise and fulfills the command of coming and thereby saving Peter.
Then the final thing that happens is that those in the boat, it says, worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Is this what Jesus was seeking? I mean, faith worships, doesn't it?
Yes, and it also confesses, because there are a lot of people who are worshiping false gods. But when you say to Jesus, the human being who walks on water, that he is the only begotten Son of God, one substance, the same as the Father and the Holy Spirit, that is a confession, not just of observation, that is a confession of faith.
Pastor Tom Baker is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farms, Missouri. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Jesus healing a blind man in John chapter 9. Tom, thanks for your time.
And thank you, Todd.
Tom had mentioned Growing in Christ, the Sunday school curriculum that forms the basis for our weekly conversations. It's a good foundation not only for these conversations, but for your Sunday school class as well. You can peruse the curriculum. They'll send you free samples. Just give Concordia Publishing House a call, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for Growing in Christ under the Listen on Demand page. In hour two of Issues Etc. this Tuesday afternoon, we're going to be looking forward to Sunday morning according to the three-year lectionary. We always go through the propers for the coming Sunday. We'll do that again, beginning with the intro and the collect and the readings and the psalm, moving toward the gospel reading in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus speaks some very difficult words. He begins by quoting the Old Testament. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, what follows then, is it a contradiction of the Old Testament? We'll find out after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.
Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. ReformationGear.com, the new Martin Luther plush figure, ReformationGear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC.